Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
My message today is from the series that continues today, The Master Key. And our topic today is what God has prepared for you. Say, Father, thank you for what you have prepared for me. Please understand, God prepares for you. He makes provision for us. And he does it in ways that we understand and ways we don't understand. Ways we can discover, and some ways you'll never know how God did it. And my praise report is this. This week, maybe tomorrow or Tuesday, my wife and I are going to write one more check and pay off our house. Amen. Pay off our house. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to figure something out, some kind of ceremony or something, you know. I'm going to burn something, you know, I'm burn something. But I tell you, my point is just that looking back when we bought the house, it's a big house, 5 bedrooms. And now we kind of rattle around, you know, it's just so big. But, you know, we talk about getting another house, but you know what? We're here. Let's make it work. You know what I'm saying? I never did get my house on the lake with a pontoon boat. I didn't get that. But it's okay. I got to pay it off house. Amen. I can just get a picture of a pontoon boat and, you know, I'll go rent me a pontoon boat. But the point is, these are the examples of what God prepares. You know, God has, we've been giving and tithing our whole lives as married people, as Christians, and blessing our ministry and other ministries and missions. And you know, so God on the salaries of a church, a smaller church pastor and a kindergarten teacher, put all our kids through private school and through college. And never did skimp on giving to God. We never skimped on giving to God. As tight as things were and have been. And now, you know, to write this check, it's just amazing to be able to look at how that whole thing is paid for, you know. Amen. And of course, you know, y'all paid for this church 2 years ago, you know what I'm saying? By the grace of God. So it's good. See, God prepares things for us. We live these kingdom principles. Because these principles work. Amen. These principles are working in us and through us. And that we are using wisdom and we're obeying God and we're following his plan. And so he provides the things that we need. And like the old song says, I look back and wonder how I got over. You know, how, Lord? Because you really can't figure it out. You just cannot really figure it out. But you know that God is working. So to young people, children, I'm telling you, you obey God, you give to God, you serve him, and you'll discover the things he's provided for you. Because they will come to pass in your life. Amen, somebody? Amen. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And beginning at verse 6. New Living Translation for this text, because it brings it out in a way I want us to hear it today. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord." That is what the scriptures mean when they say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit so that we can know the wonderful things that he has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
This is a very profound text. This is a very, very profound text because we're discovering a master key. And that master key, again, the summary is God has prepared things for you. God has prepared things for you. Say, God has prepared,
things, for me.
Now, the key is, though, how do we see and access those things? How do we get at those things that God has prepared for us? Now, first point is this I make to you. God always operates on plans and purposes. He always operates on plans and purposes. Now, by contrast, people in the world usually operate on self-gratification and selfish ambition. So what you see on TV and in politics and in marketing and all that, that's all about self-gratification, selfish ambition. Now, in some cases, they'll serve and do good things out of that. But mostly the core motivation of what happens out here around us in the world is self-gratification and personal ambition. And so a lot of our interaction with people, you know, you're coming from a perspective of Christ, wanting to serve and help and bless people. And they're thinking, well, what can I get out of you? They're plotting how to get over on you. Now, you know that, you know, we know that. And that's the way it is. We were that way, amen, before getting saved. But where concerns God, he operates on plans and purposes. Say plans, purposes. We understand that the Bible makes a lot of sense to you. Life makes more sense to you when you recognize how God is doing things, how he operates. And it's essential, especially in our day when there's so much confusion and so much darkness and so much deception all around us. We need the clarity that God gives by his word and by his spirit. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
And that's what we're here today to talk about, is to know what God's prepared for you, how to get at those things which God has prepared for you. Now, notice this. He said there in 1 Corinthians 2 and 6, when he said that, again, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared. So there is not in us, in our natural selves, there is not the capacity to know what God's prepared for us. You can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't think it. It isn't in us. We're not wired that way. We have to connect to God for that information to come through. Believe that? But he said, though, that he did all this, the plan, verse 7, the wisdom we speak is of the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory. Now, listen, the plan he talks about is simple. It's the plan to send Jesus to die for our sins, to redeem us through his death and resurrection, and to give us new life and make us a family unto himself.
Amen.
That was what was hidden. In fact, it's common to us. We know it. It's common knowledge to us. But the devil and the forces of darkness and Herod, All them folk didn't know the plan, because if they knew the plan, wouldn't they crucify Jesus? See, they thought, let's kill Jesus, get him out the picture. The Jews thought, you know, man, he's competing, the Pharisees and Sadducees. This man competes for the attention of the people. Let's get him out the way. Now, folks will come back to us. Or, you know, the government thought, you know, Herod, whoever thought that this man, Jesus, is threatening our rulership of people. Let's get him out the way. Everybody thought, rulers, spiritual and natural thought, let's get him out of here. Let's kill Jesus and end this. But when they killed Jesus, well, they didn't kill him, laid his life down. When he allowed himself to be put to death, he just began something. See, right. When they killed him, he rose again, began a whole, he made their problem worse. Amen. Now, had they known that, never would have crucified him.
Right.
The point, though, is this. The text says, verse 7, his plan, which was hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory. Say ultimate glory.
Ultimate.
He did this for your ultimate glory. Glory means not just what's presence of God, but glory always speaks to the completion of something, the fullness of something. The glory is the completion or fullness. So what God did in his plan, the plan was designed to put you in position to receive God's ultimate glory. Now listen to me. I'm using words that may sound deep and heavy. Don't make it deep and heavy. Keep it simple. Ultimate glory is better than anything you have in your life right now. Ultimate glory is better than your car and your house. Come on, amen, somebody.
Amen.
And the things you have in your house, your job. Ultimate glory is you completely fulfilled, totally empowered, just in the place that God has designed you to be. And that can happen in this life. Whether you have lots of stuff or little stuff, you can become fulfilled in your purpose. You believe that?
Amen.
And listen now, don't make a mistake about it. When God blesses you like this, it's a spiritual blessing, but it has all kinds of material blessings as well. So again, us paying out our house on tomorrow or next day, that whole thing, that's a natural thing. But that came out of ultimate glory. You follow me? It's ultimate glory to be free of debt and to have resources and enough to give and all that and put kids through school. All that. That's ultimate. So it's not only spiritual. It has natural benefits. You believe this? Now, I want you to pay attention, because when he says he has prepared these things for those who love him, there's a key there. Loving God. Loving God. Now, we know this. We aren't saved based on our works, based on how much we do, and God doesn't love me more than you. But the ideal is my love for God, our love for God is that I'm willing to do what pleases him. I want to do what he wants me to do. I appreciate him so much, I'm willing to serve him and serve others through him. I love God. Amen. And so I love him not for selfish reasons. I love him because he's worthy. He loved me first. I mean, he loved me first. All I can do is love him back. But the benefit of that kind of love is it connects you to God in a very special way. It connects you to his purposes and helps you see the things he's prepared for you. That's why we're so distracted. I mean, I went to the barbershop yesterday. Well, no, Friday I went to get a haircut, and it didn't get done. I couldn't stay in there because it's a new barbershop. I know one of the barbers in there, young man. I knew his dad, grew up with his dad. So I'm gonna support him. Went over there, went in the shop. Now, he don't own the shop. He just, you know, he has a chair in the shop. So he don't control the shop. So I went in there and I had an appointment, and my thing is I can't sit in the shop. Now I make an appointment. Let me get in that chair when I walk in that door. You know what I'm saying? Well, first mistake was, you know, the chair wasn't ready. So I had to wait for some guy. He got done, and then another guy was in line. He said, well, you after him? I said, I'm thinking, dude, you talking about, I said, appointment. So I text him like, dude, I can't sit in here. You know, so we make an appointment when I can, I walk in and sit down in the chair. But that was no problem. The problem was this, though. Sitting there waiting, they had the music going. Boombox, whatever it was, the speaker's playing. And then I heard F-bombs dropping. Heard one, that way I can put the headphones in and I can survive this. Headphones are here, I'm fine. Another F-bomb, MF-bomb, B-bomb. Oh my goodness, oh man. So I just stood up, started walking. I said, hey, I'll call you. I walked out of there, okay? My point is, now I'm not so special that I can't handle some profanity, but I don't need to be anywhere, especially if the appointment was a certain time. Now it's a half hour later, and I got to endure all this foolishness because I'm too close to God now to let stuff distract me. See? So hear me, I can handle it, it's just that I don't have to be someplace like that anymore. Now, if I had to be in there to preach, I would stay there and all through all that stuff. But I'm there for just a simple haircut. Amen. It's a half hour late already. Amen. And so devil's got me in there. he got me where he wasn't right now. Again, I can handle profanity. I'm not fragile. I'm just saying, I'm the kind of person, you just can't be foolish around me. Amen. You cannot be foolish. I don't need to be around foolish people that I can't help. Amen. If I can help them, that's one thing. But to be sitting there inundated by all this foolishness, I'm like, no, no, no. So I said, dude, I'll be back. But when I come back, I'm sitting in that chair when I walk in the door, and that music won't be playing. He said, yes, sir. I said, right, thank you. Just bring me in. Friday's a busy day. Bring me in on Monday. Tuesday, when the door opens, when nobody's in there. I'm not fragile. I'm teaching you a lesson here. Many of you, you submit yourself to all type of stuff. You let people cuss around you. You watch everything on TV. Go to every movie. Don't miss anything. And let everything get in your spirit. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying you can't handle that. If you're on assignment for God, anything, you can handle anything. But to willingly give yourself to these influences, it doesn't help you then receive what God prepared for you. Amen. Now, maybe you don't agree with that. So what? I mean, I'm living these things that I'm telling you about for a long time. I know it works. And I see also, as a pastor, long-term pastor, I see what brings people up and what brings people down.
All right.
And what brings people down is not paying attention to God. I mean, Christians. Now, a sinner needs to get saved. But a Christian got to pay attention to God. So this matter of believers not loving God in deed and truth is a problem for them. This issue of Christians not reading the Bible and not studying the Word and not interpreting things biblically or making decisions and doing things contrary to Scripture because of their ignorance of Scripture, it's a problem. And it's going to manifest itself down the line. What we want to do is, out of grace, be obedient to God, fall in love with God, and just steer clear of things that don't help you. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
That makes sense?
Amen.
Now, it says here, the text says that God operates, or God speaks of a plan. And that plan, of course, is Christ coming and dying for our sins. And that brings us to ultimate glory. Here's a master key for you. The first master key today is, your relationship with the Lord is the key to knowing the wonderful things God has freely given to us. Now, it goes without saying, but I'm saying it. Relationship. Say relationship.
Relationship.
Now, there are people you know who you relate to, And that relationship has borne a lot of fruit in your life. A lot of joy has come. I think marriages and friendships, I mean, a lot of blessing has come from relationship. And even so, when we relate to God in the manner in which he offers us, same thing, wonderful things come. Even in the midst of storms, in the midst of challenges and trouble, he still brings wonderful things into your life. He provides great things for you. He has provided great things for you. And again, we want to find out then, okay, if he has provided this, if eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, eye hasn't seen, my heart hasn't perceived, he says, but he's made them known to us by his Spirit. So the fact that I don't know it right now doesn't mean it's not there for me. There's a lot of things that you don't see or hear, but are there for you. You haven't discovered it. It's called discovery. And so that it's through the language of God, Spirit and Word, and through relationship that you come to know the things you cannot see or hear or perceive in your own natural mind. So then we have to connect with the God who give us access to all these good things. Make sense? Now, he says, again, verse 10 there of 1 Corinthians 2, that he has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches out everything and knows and shows us God's deep secrets. Now, God has secrets in the sense that God's not telling everybody everything all the time. You know what I'm saying? Any more than you do. Because you know good and well, if you tell some people something that's very important and precious to you, they're going to, you know, either not respect it or going to trample over it or share with somebody else. I mean, they can't hold the confidence. You know that. But even God knows that God's not going to let anybody waste something he gives them. If he knows they can't handle it, they won't even see it. He won't just dangle it out there in front of him. Oh, he said, you can have this. You won't know anything. Right. You won't even know it's there, except by promise. So here's the thing. We need to allow ourselves to draw close to God. It's an incentive for us to walk with God, love God, pray, all the regular stuff we should do. Pray, read the Bible, fellowship, serve, all these things, because God is not revealing everything to everybody all the time. He's giving out to people what they want. He's helping people according to their desire, their willingness to submit to him. That's a simple principle. Draw near to God, he draws near to you, right? That's a very common scripture we often give. Well, it's true. Now, so that's true. How do we get there, though? Well, again, it isn't difficult. It just takes a decision on our part. Now, to have the understanding, we have to understand things using the knowledge, insight, and language of those things. He said there in the text that for us to understand spiritual things, you must use spiritual things. For example, to understand who God is, how faith works, you know, what family is, what marriage is, truly is, then we learn it from the Bible. So the scripture would teach us what these things are. Now, people go different ways. As the Bible said, the Bible here said that Paul said, verse 13, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. That's exactly what people are doing, though, see. People, you know, even a lot of believers, when they talk about things, listen to what they talk about. Look at what they give you. All right? They give you, they Google everything, or somebody heard somebody say. They tell you that. They pass that along to you, what they heard. Or they, you know, they watch a half of a news broadcast and pick up a tenth of that and pass that along to you. And so they're telling you stuff that's completely and entirely based on human wisdom. And you got to know that's what they do. That's how they operate. That's their level. But the things of God, what God's prepared for you, don't come that way. The things God has for you are coming out of His presence, His Spirit, His Word. So that when people tell you about things, you ask questions. Now, I mean, if the question is about something natural, I want a natural answer. For example, you know, I do digital media. I do production and things like that. Well, that's, you know, that's not spiritual. I do spiritual work. I mean, the end work benefits spiritual purposes. But for example, I got something, a new device or a new upgrade for my system, and it's called an external GPU, external graphics processing unit, and it supplements the CPU. So the GPU and the CPU work together to process the images and the video renderings and all that. That's that realm. That's that area right there. That's just over there. That's over there. I can't get healed off of that. So sometimes people are trying to get wisdom from the world to bring into their situation. There are things only God can give, and it's not going to come through the phrases and the knowledge and the wisdom of this world. That's all I'm trying to say. CPUs and GPUs and all that kind of stuff, that's confined to a very specific area. We all have that kind of knowledge. In your fields of professional work, you all have those types of knowledge. We know this. But then why do we think we can bring that and other people's knowledge into situations that are not related? And why do folks think that I'm brilliant at this, therefore I must be brilliant at that? No, you're good at this and you're dumb at this. You know, face it, all right? So let's not get all puffed up and forget that we need to love God, draw close to Him, stay in the Scripture, stay in prayer to understand the things of God. He's not giving out and making known these things just through natural knowledge. That's all we're saying. You get that. So he says, again, verse 13 says again, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we use words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual things. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. That's what you're facing. That people sometimes are unwilling to admit, I don't understand the Bible. I don't know what this scripture means. But people go straight to try to act like they understand what they don't understand. And that's one of the worst conditions of all, is not knowing is one thing, but you don't know what you don't know. That's the worst condition. Therefore, we need to let other people teach us. Amen. And pray we can help other people understand how to walk with God and help our children get a hold to these things, because, you know, children are really susceptible to the voices of the world, things they see in the TV, the cartoons. I mean, everything has its own little message now. Everything is telling you what they want you to think about something. And we have to get there first with the truth. Amen? Oh, here's the master key now. When you love God, He goes before you to prepare the way. This will bless you right here. Now, I researched this and found out this word prepare has a very special meaning. First of all, prepare means to make ready, to make the necessary preparations to get everything ready. But here's the really profound part of this. This word is drawn from an Oriental custom of sending on before kings on their journeys persons to level the roads and make them passable. Get that? So if you were a king in the day, you said, well, I want to go to Timbuktu. Then people went ahead of you before you went, and they cleared the path to Timbuktu. They cleared the obstacles, leveled the road, put provision out there. They make it possible that when you begin your journey, you can get straight to Timbuktu, because the way has been prepared for you. That's what God's doing for us. That when He says He prepares the way for us, He means that. Before you get there, when he puts in your heart to go there and you obey him in preparation for that in your heart, then he gets ahead of you and makes that way clear. I thought about this in Africa last November. You know, we went to, first time going out to the desert, a place called Kakuma, city called Kakuma, out in the desert, North Kenya. And we were in a place called Lodwar, which is a desert, but it's an occupied place. There's people there and resources there. But Kakuma is like desert with almost nothing. So we drove in that truck. You saw the video. We drove, you know, 70 miles on this piece of a road or no road at all. And this truck was breaking down. It broke down, looked like 5-6 times. So I thought about this just now. The Lord, see, here's what happened. When we made the plan to go from Lodwar to Kakuma, we prayed, we trusted God. God went ahead of us. So God knew. He knew we were going to be in a hoopty. In this Toyota Land Cruiser hoopty. He knew it wouldn't be a brand new Land Cruiser. He knew it wouldn't be the best vehicle. And so he knew. Therefore, even though we were in a vehicle that was substandard and would he knew it was going to break down. When it broke down, it started. When it broke down, he gave the guy wisdom to hit something, bang on something, and it came back again. Twist something, move a wire over here. Now, listen, y'all, it was an optimal situation, I'm telling you. See, but when God goes ahead of you, he don't make everything like perfect. He works with what's out there. Amen. He works with what you have. Amen. Please hear that. He didn't give us a limousine to go up there in, a four-wheel drive limousine. It was a hoopty, but God made the hoopty work for us all the way there and all the way back. All right. We had to get out and push a couple times, all that. But I'm telling you, in my mind, it was God working for us. No doubt about it. In fact, many occasions on trips like that, many things go weird. We were in a car going someplace and didn't have any gas in it. Forgot to put gas in. He said, well, no problem, the gas station's over there. But the road was blocked. So he figured we get there because it's over there. No, but over there is blocked. We got to do a long detour. Everybody's doing the same detour. On a dirt road, we're all backed up on detour. On E. Well, you know, God saw that too. See, listen, y'all, if we didn't love God, we'd be in a whole heap of trouble every day. If you didn't love God and have God preparing the way for you, you'd be in trouble, deep trouble, and you every day, tragic trouble. Amen. It isn't luck. It's God. Now, people should make better decisions, but God knows that you whip people sometimes who don't make good decisions. That's right. Now, the plan is next time we go to Africa, we'll pick the truck. And we'll pay for the truck. Because people are passing us in air-conditioned Land Cruisers. People passed us in air-conditioned Land Cruisers. They got Land Cruisers in Kenya now. They get brand new ones. All I'm saying is, I love this definition. That because we're kings and priests under God, because we love God, he goes before us. He prepares the way, whatever it takes. And so that's why we pray, we trust God, we love God, because we need God going ahead of us every day. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
All right. And you don't get this from natural wisdom. You have to get this from God. Now, let me skip ahead to Luke chapter 1. Talk about Zacharias here in my final few minutes. Zacharias. A lesson from Zacharias about the importance of aligning yourself, being in alignment with the will of God in your life. Now, the story is an angel appeared to him in verse 11 and appeared to Zacharias, who would be the father of John. Angel said, verse 13, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayers heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. You should call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness. Verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, verse 18, Now, how shall I know this? I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And angel said, oh, what's time out, stop. Angel said, listen, I am Gabriel. You know, you got to know who you're dealing with. I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, who has sent to speak, who was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute, not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Wow, that's pretty strong there. So you've been praying for a son. God make it happen. That they had, you know, they were not supernaturally conceived. John was conceived the regular way. But the point is, he said, I don't see it. How can this happen? I'm too old. She's old. But he put his mouth on it, didn't he? He put his mouth on it, and God shut his mouth and made him mute. He couldn't even speak. Now, why did God do that? Because God knows if you go speaking against the things of God, you will hinder that work in your life. You'll hinder him working in your life. Amen. Now, God don't always shut our mouths like that. I wish he did sometime. Amen. But the fact that he did it here, because the purpose was too great. Amen. To let Zacharias interfere with the plan of God.
That's right.
Now, watch this. The Bible says, though, skip ahead to verse 59, way ahead. Now, understand this, that the tradition of that day was to name your firstborn son after yourself. So part of what God knew was, if the name, when the child was born, he wanted to name the child Zacharias Jr. Wasn't God's plan. God said, the angel said, name him John. Remember that? He gave him the name. So it said, verse 59, on the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father. See that? They would have, Zacharias. His mother said to him, no, he shall be called John. Mom was clear. On God, see, God, he prepared things for them. He was manifesting a son to them. They couldn't see it. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't know it. God spoke it. But once God speaks it, you must align yourself with it. You can't speak against what God is doing. So verse 61, they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. That's a weird name, John. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote saying, his name is John. Say he got it.
He got it.
He got, say he got it.
He got it.
God had to make him mute, had to shut him down, had to embarrass him by taking his speech away, but he got it. And so when he wrote that down, his name is John, the Bible says, so they all marveled, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke praising God. Amen. I can't say how God's going to get you there. I know what God's done for me and through me and to me to get me in line. But to receive what God has prepared for you is worth whatever God has to do to get you there. Because you know who John the Baptist was and what he was in terms of Christ. He was a forerunner of Christ. He was an essential part of God's plan. Couldn't let this man mess it up, give him the wrong name. Amen. So in closing, sometimes a release or a loosening of something in our life begins with getting our thoughts, intentions, and our words in line with God's plan and God's purpose. Please hear that. That sometimes what stands between us and the blessings of God is our thoughts, our intentions, and our words are just out of position, out of line for God to manifest what he has prepared for us. And so what we need to do, well, question, what do you need to change or adjust in your thinking, in your talking, or your intentions to put you in position to get out of your mind and into the mind of Christ? Sometimes you should lose your mind. In the sense, lose your mind of trying to figure things out that you can't even begin to understand how God's going to do it. Lose that mind and gain the mind of Christ. Because all the things that we can't see or we can't hear or we can't perceive, he says we can know them through his Spirit. And we have the Spirit of God and we have the mind of Christ. Amen. And with those tools, you can get into everything God has for you. You believe that?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us.